listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo Lobo.
Dr. Malvi Singh completed his DMD and Master's of Science at Tufts University School of Dental Medicine in Boston, Massachusetts, and he also completed a fellowship in oral medicine. Currently, Dr. Singh is an assistant division head of the oral medicine program at Tufts University School of Dental Medicine. He has carried out research projects and written several book chapters about Sjogren's. Dr. Singh has served in several national and international committees, including the Sjogren Syndrome Foundation. Sjogren's is a complex autoimmune disease. I'm glad we have Dr. Singh with us today to share his knowledge. How are you, Dr. Singh?
I'm fine, thank you, and thank you for having me.
So can you tell us, what is Sjogren's?
So Sjogren's is a disease defined by Dr. Henrik Sjogren's, who was an ophthalmologist, and he was from Sweden. And by the way, it's pronounced as Sjogren's, really, like, you know, the Swedish they pronounce, but I think nobody knows how to really pronounce it, like here in US. So we basically will limit us to Sjogren's. It's basically a chronic autoimmune disease, means like our body is attacking against its own organs, especially the exocrine organs, and it's an inflammatory disorder. There's inflammation going on, characterized by the basically lacrimal, the tear glands, and the saliva producing glands. And most of the time, like usually, if there is no autoimmune component identified, and if there is only dry eyes and dry mouth with no autoimmune component, then it's called like Sika syndrome. And usually it's if there is any other connective tissue disorders like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or any other diseases, then it's called like secondary Sjogren's due to rheumatoid arthritis or lupus.
Can you please tell our listeners what are some of the symptoms of Sjogren's?
So there are many signs and symptoms of Sjogren's. Sometimes they overlap with many other diseases, making the diagnosis of Sjogren's very confusing and difficult. So there may not be a very black and white kind of signs and symptoms, many gray areas. They overlap with many other diseases. But mainly, Sjogren's manifest in the eyes and the mouth, basically the glands, extra glandular features. So when it affects the salivary glands, obviously there will be a reduction in the salivary flow. So that will be volumetric saliva will be reduced, and also the quality of the saliva will be reduced. So when there is reduction in the quality of the saliva, there will be increased sensation, subjective sensation of dryness in the oral cavity, which we call xerostomia. And this xerostomia will lead to multitude of other complications, like candidiasis, increased amount of candida, or the fungal infection in the oral cavity. The yeast, they are normal inhabitants of the oral cavity, but when there is change in the microenvironment of the oral cavity, they become opportunistic and become invasive. So that may lead to the burning sensation of the mouth. People usually complain about like having something like sawdust in the mouth. So there may be increased number of development of decay in the mouth, decay around the crowns or bridge work. So the crown and bridge work fail a lot. Constant need of drinking water. Some of the other features with Sjogren's is sandy gritty filling or foreign object like sensation in the eyes. And one of the main feature of Sjogren's is like fatigue. It has to be identified separately from tiredness. There is fatigue, some memory issues. And 60% like of the population with Sjogren's, they may have gastroesophageal reflux. So we tend to see lots of tooth surface loss in the form of erosion in the among the Sjogren's patients. And sometimes there may be enlarged salivary glands due to blockage of the salivary glands, especially the major salivary glands. And once that blockage is relieved, that the gland may be come into its normal size and form. Tenderness of these glands may occur. If you check the images in the internet, you'll usually see like people with enlarged parotid glands. They look like chipmunks.
So who's most likely to develop Sjogren's, Dr. Singh?
We do have in our clinic all sort of patients of all ages and males, females, and even children. So everybody can be affected, but most commonly affected population is the perimenopausal women. So the ratio of women to men is 9:1. So women after around like 40s and 50s and 60s are mostly affected.
How do you diagnose Sjogren's?
Well, there has been like many diagnostic criteria for the diagnosis of the Sjogren's. So sometimes we rely upon the characteristics of the saliva, the volume of the saliva, the dryness in the mouth. These are like subjective symptoms, and we do have some objective measurements. So for the diagnosis of the Sjogren's, we need to have one of the two things, either positive serological marker, that is SSA, like that's the antibody, or positive biopsy of the minor salivary glands. So if there's any lymphocytic infiltration into the salivary glands, that's considered as the positive for the biopsy. Usually like for the clinical practices, we do measure the saliva. We do, that is the objective measurement of the saliva and the tear production. And subjectively, we can go for the how sensation of the dryness in the mouth and sensation of the dryness in the eyes. One of the must, like I told you, is either presence of serological marker, SSA, or positive lip biopsy. There have been like new criterias that's associated, I mean, came out with the American College of Rheumatology, which is mostly used for the research purposes.
What kind of doctor treats Sjogren's, and what is the dentist's role?
As a dentist, like I think we have one of the we are one of the first ones who may notice decreased flow of saliva in the mouth, you know, and complications of the Sjogren's in the mouth. But mostly it's the rheumatologists who treat the disease, and we also treat the disease equally, the dentists. being associated at Tufts and associated with the oral medicine clinic, like where we have quite a large number of patients with Sjogren's, I think it's the dentist role is great because the psychological effect, the financial aspect of Sjogren's or the physical tolls of Sjogren's is very high. Usually, like, you know, the diagnosis is becomes so late, like it used to take 6 years, like, you know, after they start complaining of signs and symptoms of Sjogren's. And in this 6 years, a lot may have happened. But now, like, it's less, maybe 2 years, 2.5 years for the diagnosis. And because of the education and the resources patients have.
Are there any treatments to improve this condition and help prevent complications?
Well, awareness is the key. Since there is no cure for the disease, the main thing, like as a dentist, like we do care about the oral cavity. So what we see as a provider, the compliance is the key. Like we do have methods to overcome the risk factors caused by the complications or the, say, like salivary hypofunction in the oral cavity. And we can suggest the patients like so many things, so many, ask them to do this, that, like, you know, many things. But if they are not compliant, once they leave the office, we have no control over them. And if they are not compliant, like we do see complications. Well, in regarding physicians, they do treat Sjogren's, like to reduce fatigue and complications. We use like some therapeutic agents like pilocarpine and sevimeline that has shown, like, you know, the maybe the glandular destruction among these patients may not be that fast, or the rate may be slowed down with the uses of therapeutic medications. But there has been some attempts to treat these patients to slow down the disease, but some of the atoms have been successful, but to improve the salivary function or to improve the saliva in the oral cavity has not been so successful. So so early identifications or early diagnosis of the disease is very important so that we can preserve some of the glandular function.
Do you have any final recommendations for our listeners?
Well, you need to find someone who understands Sjogren's. So a lot of times, like, they're dismissed the disease doesn't exist, or the problem is in your head, or that kind of thing. Like, or they're just suggested to keep on sipping water. But we do have methods to overcome the risk factors so that the rate of dental decay can be reduced, the quality of life can be improved, the financial burdens can be reduced, or, I mean, the dependence on the caretakers, it can be lessened. So we do have, like, you know, in our clinic, we do recommend a lot of things for these patients to basically not cure the disease, but treat the disease symptomatically so that they will improve their quality of life. We can't reverse the destructions in the salivary glands, but we can help how they feel in the mouth, or or how they, generally, we can suggest like where to go. We do have support groups around, like where they can talk to people with similar conditions, and we do have some in Tufts, a specialized clinic where we treat the Sjogren's population.
I can't thank you enough for joining us today and helping raise awareness about Sjogren's, Dr. Singh. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchatpodcast.com or email me at dentalchatpodcast@gmail.com. Disclaimer: the purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions. You are listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo. You are listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo. You are listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchatpodcast.com or email me at dentalchatpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchatpodcast.com or email me at dentalchatpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchatpodcast.com or email me at dentalchatpodcast@gmail.com. Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo. Disclaimer: the purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions. Disclaimer: the purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions.
You're listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Silvia Lobo Lobo. You're listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Silvia Lobo Lobo. Listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Silvia Lobo Lobo. You are listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Silvia Lobo Lobo.